You have your Bibles open to Psalms, division number 67. A few months ago, I was in the church in Atlanta, Georgia, and on the screen, it just came up these two verses, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 67. And I read my Bible through entirely at least once every year. And so you go back 50, 60 years, and so I've read it many, many times, probably many more times than that. And I looked at it on the screen and I thought, that would be a great verse for missions. You say, well, a lot of other people have already discovered that. I know, but I discovered it that day, okay? And so I just like to think for us to think about a prayer for God's blessings. A prayer for God's blessings. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. God be merciful unto us. And do we not all need the mercy of God? Every once in a while, I hear some dummy make a statement like this. All I want is what I deserve. And always think of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. What do you deserve? We deserve death. Eternal separation from God. But are we not glad for the mercy of God? God does not give us what we deserve. And thank God for that. But to prayer, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause thy faith and cause his faith to shine upon us. And then the little pause, Selah. Think about that. Think about that. A prayer for prosperity. It is similar to the Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So the psalmist is praying, God, make me prosperous. You say, well, is that a proper prayer? Evidently it is, okay? In the prayer of Jabez, look at it if you would, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And the Bible says in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, or sorry. How'd you like to have a name like that, okay? Because I bear him with sorrow. Now notice his prayer. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. In other words, don't just bless me a little bit. I mean, just pile it on. Bless me a whole lot, amen. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou shouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And I like this word. And God granted him that which he requested. Wow. Jabez prayed for prosperity. Jabez prayed for influence, enlarge my tent. He prayed for power, the power of God to be upon me. And he prayed for the protection of God to keep him. And the Bible says, and God answered his blessing. Now, many times people pray for prosperity, but it's a selfish prayer. They pray that they might have bigger cars, bigger houses, on and on and on you could go. You have a lot of what we call prosperity evangelism today. It's not in the Bible, but a lot of people are using it, okay? But notice, what was the purpose of the psalmist praying for prosperity? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with praying for that, if your motive is right. And look at verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Dear God, make me prosperous so that I can do all that I can with what you give to me to make thy name known and thy saving health among all nations. My dear friend, we are a blessed people today, are we not? You think of all that God has given us. You say, well, I'm not very prosperous. Did you have any food this morning? Do you have decent clothes to wear? Did you drive to church in a car? Do you have a roof over your head? If you do, then you're among the 5% of the most wealthy people in the whole world. God has made us prosperous. Sad to say, many people have used the prosperity selfishly. The Bible teaches us in no uncertain words that we are blessed to be a blessing. Listen to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And what? What's the purpose of that? So everybody can look at Abraham and say how great he is. People can look at you and say, oh, how wonderful. No, no, no. And that thou shalt be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The purpose for the prayer was not a selfish purpose. It was not just for comfort and pleasure. And by the way, I'm not against comfort. I'm not against pleasure. I try to get elderly people to get totally involved in the work of God. And I tell them, I don't want to just sit around in a rocking chair the rest of my life. Now, I'm not against rocking chairs. Now, I am having a hard time getting it started anymore. Amen. So I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against comfort. But if that's the only reason, that's a poor reason. The purpose of the prayer is that all of the nations of the world would know and love and praise God. You think, of all the 245 nations around the world, of all of the thousands of people groups around the world, that's a great prayer, was it not? That all of them may know and love and praise God. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Listen to one of the post-resurrection commandments of the Lord. To his church, churches like Beacon Baptist Church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Occasionally, I meet somebody and say, well, brother, sis, my big problem is I don't understand the Bible. Let's see if you can misunderstand that verse. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Blaylock, that's our job. That's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate from our commanding officer. Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I think it was Mark Twain that said, it's not what I don't understand in the Bible that bothers me. It's what I understand and I'm not obeying. It was a proper prayer. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of the 249 nations, if all of the thousands of people groups all over the world knew about our great God? The prayer, it was not a selfish prayer. Notice the pronoun us in verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. It is a corporate prayer. Dear God, bless all of us. Make your face shine upon us. Make us prosperous so we can use what you have given to us to spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. By the way, we will experience God's blessings when we honor his purpose for the blessings. Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now, Paul is writing to a church that had given to him to evangelize and that it even caused a need in their own life. And he said, but don't worry about it. My God shall supply your need. God will make us prosper when we have the proper purpose for being prosperous. I love Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Listen to it again. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice, Jesus is teaching his disciples that he's going to leave them. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried, resurrected from the grave, and he's going to ascend to heaven. But he's giving them a big job. My dear friends, God has given us a big job has he not? And he knew that if they said, okay, we're going to get totally involved in giving, praying, going, so the whole world can know about you, that they'd begin to think, but what are we going to eat, and what are we going to wear, and where are we going to live, and how are we going to retire, and on and on and on. And he said simply this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love that passage. I'm going to give you a paraphrase. You say, I don't like paraphrases. I don't necessarily like them either. But this is mine, okay? So it's a good paraphrase. Now listen to it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You take care of God's business. And all these things shall be added unto you. And God will take care of you. Is that a great promise or not? Hey, by the way, it's not my job to take care of Don Sisk. It's my job to take care of my father's business. And if I take care of my father's business, he will take care of me. Could I testify? It's a great promise. God keeps his promises. When we recognize God's blessings on us, we will be glad. Notice again, verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let all the people praise. By the way, if we do not have the joy of God, we cannot expect others to love and praise him. And the bottom line is, others cannot love and praise him if they do not know him. Much of the 8 billion people on planet Earth today live in total unevangelized areas of the world. They do not know about a personal God. They do not know about a God that loves them. All false religions know about gods that demand they do everything for their God. I love Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you love that? Whosoever. By the way, don't ever let anybody tell you that God only provided salvation for a few people. That only a few were predestinated to go to heaven, and the rest would have to go to hell. God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he is a propitiation for our sin, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God has some whosoevers. For God so loved the world of mankind, all 8 billion of them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right after that verse in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to what Paul adds. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not heard, not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now listen to it. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, Paul wrote close to the first of the first century. And some have not the knowledge of God. I speak that to your shame. I wonder what he would say to us 2,000 plus years later. Billions have no knowledge of God. I have blessed you. I have made you prosperous. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak that to your shame. Think with me for just a few minutes, dear friend, how you individually can get involved in making him known to all the people of the world. Number one, all of us can go somewhere. I'm convinced that with 6% of the people of the world speaking English and 94% of all the preaching that's done is done in English, that maybe somebody is not listening to God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of us can go. Now, I'm not saying all of us can go to the mission field, but all of us can go somewhere. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Every born-again child of God ought to be going somewhere and telling people about Jesus. You might need to go next room where you live and tell somebody in your family that does not know Jesus Christ, how they can know him. You might need to go across the street. You may need to go across town. Or you may need to go across the world. But all of us can go somewhere. What are you doing personally to make sure that everybody knows how they can be saved and go to heaven? That they can praise God and they can make a joyful noise to the Lord. So many people. I read the other day that 65% of children under the age of 15 have never one time been to church in America. Think about that. We have a big job, do we not? And then I believe if we would listen real carefully. Some of you young people, some of you teenagers, some of you young couples, maybe some of you middle-aged couples. God has blessed you with a good mind. He has blessed you with knowledge. And I believe if you would listen real carefully, that God may lead you to go to some of the great unevangelized areas of the world. All of us can go somewhere. Remember what Jesus said to those first disciples. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Hey, either you're fishing for men, or you're disobeying God. By the way, not only can all of us go, all of us can pray. All of us can pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his field. Harvest. How long, mother, dad? How long since you prayed, dear Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest? I was in Lynchburg, Virginia years ago, eating lunch in a beautiful home, wonderful Christian people. In the midst of the lunch, the lady of the house said to Pastor Ralston, Brother Ralston, I get nervous every time we have a mission conference. And he inquired as to why she would get nervous about a mission conference. She said, I have two teenagers, both of them very dedicated Christians. And I'm scared to death God is going to call one of them to be a missionary. And I don't believe I could stand to see my children go to the mission field. Say, Brother Sis, is that rather common? I don't know. But it's not very Christian. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Be honest with yourself this morning. How long has it been since you really prayed that God would send forth laborers into the harvest? And by the way, many times when you begin to pray like that, he'll say, okay, you're the one. But we ought to be willing, amen. And by the way, we ought to be willing for our children and our grandchildren to go to the mission field. We all can go somewhere. We all can pray. We have a great God, a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. We talk a lot about prayer. We preach about it. We teach about it. But we don't do much of it. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth. Then, by the way, we can all give. I noticed on your offering envelope that there's a place for the general that you're tithe offering to Israel. And there's a place for missions. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every member of Beacon Baptist Church every week gave something above your regular tithe and offering to world evangelization? The Apostle Paul, in writing and urging the churches to get involved in a mission offering, said this in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. That's a great verse. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let. And by the way, sometimes when you say that, the ladies will say, amen, let the men give. But he's not talking about gender. Every mankind. Every man, Every woman, every boy, every girl ought to give something every week for missions, to help those that have never heard to hear at least one time about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to it very carefully again. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. I'll never forget a lady by the name of Matsumoto coming to our house one night after they had been on an evangelistic meeting over on a little island not too far from the Bible school. She was so excited because a woman had gotten saved. And she was telling my wife and I about the way she led the woman to the Lord. 83 years old. At that time, I thought that woman was ancient. Now I know she was just in her prime of life. Amen. But she said, after I had prayed and the woman had asked Jesus to be her Savior, she said to me, I've always known that there was a God like that somewhere, but I didn't know who He was. What a great prayer that all the people of the earth may know and praise and honor and fear our great God. Take it personal, folks. You say, well, we as a church, I know, we as a church do some great things, but take it personal. What are you personally doing to make Christ known to the lost and dying of this world? It's not just about them being saved, and that's wonderful, but it's about them being able to praise and honor and glorify God.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.